Folks, welcome back to the show where you gotta say it with your chest, bitch. It is Trainwreck Rules, and we are breaking down the latest episode of Vanderpump Rules on Bravo. Let me get my co-host in here, the Quinster. Quinn, another episode in the books. A lot of talking, not a lot of moving and shaking this episode. A little bit Vanderpump kind of gearing up here in the midseason.
Yeah, we're midway through. They had a bit of a climax with the Tahoe trip, and now just kind of bringing it back. Obviously, I think something's coming up here where it's going to add a little more drama. But this show, I don't know about you, but it felt like everyone really leaned into the characters we've known for years and the personalities of them that we've known. Like, you got classic Lala, you got some classic Katie. Obviously, Sheena's really being a Sheena. It just felt like everyone really leaned into who they are this week.
Yeah, I mean, we even got some Christina Kelly, I'm pretty sure, in this episode. So there's a little bit of everything for the Vanderpump lovers. So let's get into it. My first note is that Hippie's loving the new house. I think he's really the king of the castle at James's spot.
Yeah, tough to see him getting crated. Allie's still a little suspect of his biting and nipping. But at least he's living his best life still. And like Schwartz said, he seems like a different dude, different dog.
Then we have quintessential classic reality TV, two characters meeting each other for a coffee and a walk or things like that. Were you surprised that Lala kind of flexed on Ariana here regarding her lack of defense for Sheena amidst the Tahoe gate, the Tahoe picture gate?
No, because again, I think this is quintessential Lala of one, she can't mind her own business. Two, she's a huge hypocrite, right? Because during her breakup, wasn't she like, I'll kill anyone that hangs out with Randall? During that whole, not like, which you should, if you shouldn't be hanging out with Randall, he's a scumbag, but she had the same view as Ariana, and now she's sort of just coming along to this, like, all right, we need to get past this, and she's like trying to be mature and trying to be the mature one, and some of that's good for her, but she's still a huge hypocrite deep down.
Seriously, I think that was shown, but I did appreciate that Lala, I mean, because Ariana, going against Ariana right now at that period in time, like during Scandal, was a pretty tough move because, like they said, she's booking everything under the sun. Everyone was, you know, and that's what they all want to do. At the end of the day, you kind of forget that all these characters started because they're in LA because they want to make it, because they want to, you know, eventually become something bigger. So when Ariana, you know, succeeds in doing that because of Scandal, there is a little bit of fallout, which we're seeing now. We're seeing some cracks.
Whether she's a hypocrite or not, Lala is the only one in this group that is willing to tell people the hard truths. And what she said to Ariana is true. Ariana is being kind of a spoiled brat about this entire thing. She needs somebody to say it.
Yeah, the fact that I agree with whether Lala was sticking her nose where it didn't belong, et cetera, or not. I agree with her perspective on the situation for sure. Speaking of the situation, not bringing in the Jersey Shore, but. We got Sandoval visiting Lisa at what I guess we now have Tom Sir Pump hybrid location.
Yeah.
According to Lisa. But this is a big sit down because Tom's kind of coming in. He's flying high, even though, you know, he only had an okay trip in Tahoe.
He's got some new nails done.
He's got the nails done. He's got everything.
Sleeves, guns out.
Unfortunately, this is when I think kind of reality hits him again. This is a big L in my mind for Sandoval. Sandoval with an L at the end. Lisa tells Tom that she talked to Rachel. She felt a little manipulated. And this is quintessential Lisa just being so far above everyone. She goes, well, if she talked to me, she'll talk to you. And Sandoval just goes, she blocked me. Yeah. Like, basically like that.
Yeah. And also shout out to Lisa for the, you know, Tom kind of complaining that, hey, they didn't run that by us. And then cuts to Lisa being like, why would I consult 2% owners? Like, again, putting him back in his place of like, look, you're fine. We've given you a lot. Just shut up and let us run this business. I loved her kind of getting that out there. And then this one's weird to me, though. In a few ways, one, it shows Tom's true colors. I believe Rachel entirely in what she said to Lisa that she was manipulated by Tom. We saw that at the end of the reunion that she came out for that second interview and was like, look, I didn't want to lie to these people. Tom told me to stick to this story. It's just quintessential Tom being a total manipulator behind the scenes, pressuring people to do what he wants. His quote, life is lying to her, that, and he's like, I didn't say that. And he for sure said that. That's a Tom Sandoval quote if you ever heard one. And I think he's even lying about
it. It goes last week with the I'll take a lie detector test, bro.
Correct. Yes. Everything he shows me is like this guy's like pathological. And I think he's even lying a little bit about the lack of communication between him and Rachel and how it started. And now we all know as fans that there's a lawsuit, right, against him and Ariana for the distributing the video of the porn and some of the stuff that he's done. So I think there's more to the behind the scenes of that he's trying to hide to not look like a bit like, oh, I just love her and I'm just trying to be there for her.
Especially when he was like, oh, they don't let her have her phone or whatever, stuff like that. When she's there, like, I feel like you can't really just take away someone's phone. I mean, if they want to contact someone, they're going to have it. Seems like a good excuse to kind of cut Sandoval out of the picture. And yeah, that was Lisa's dose of reality for him. Like he tells that to Lisa and Lisa just goes, well, you're done. Like, that's it. Like, whereas you can tell Sandoval hadn't realized that yet. It's just so funny how constantly she can easily assess these like situations. Sandoval a little delusional more than most, but very funny with Lisa there. And then we get, just funny relative in the sense that, like, my goodness, I couldn't believe it. But then we get some Schwartz and Joe action. What do you think about this segment? What do you think about Joe kind of working her way into the season? I think that the Vanderpump producers, they want to play as many of the hits as they can for the season. They want to keep this train rolling. So if there's any way that they can get a familiar face, anything like that on the screen, they're going to do so.
Yeah. And they want to add new talent, right? We always know they're always trying to soft introduce. That's how Raquel came in. That's how Lala came in, right? You soft introduce kind of auxiliary talents, auxiliary people into the show. Joe's slowly been that next one, it seems. I find her pretty annoying, actually, but I'm glad we finally got like a sort of admitting of Tom that this wasn't just buddies and platonic and that there was some hooking up. And I still think they're a little bit lying about how often that is occurring and who really likes. I think she's really into Tom, and you saw some of that flirting.
You think?
Right? Well, yeah. And she's like, you said you wouldn't get married till 43. And he's kind of just like putting
that might have been the saddest thing of the whole sequence, because she just goes, oh, yeah. Well, you only want to wait like 2 years, right? And Schwartz is like, yeah,
maybe seven.
If anyone tells you in a relationship situation, male or female, female to male, any combination, that it's going to take over 2 or 3 months for them to figure something out, that ain't happening.
They're just using you. Yeah.
So the fact that we're at 2 to 3 years is like tremendous.
Yeah. I will say in the scene with Schwartz, Joe and Allie at the show, and James comes back into it, I don't know how you felt about this, but I've been high on James, and we're looking at the power rankings right here. Like, James neck and neck with Lisa. I've given him high ratings every single episode. I didn't like what we saw from James here. He is falling right back into the Tom Sandoval manipulation trap. Like, Tom, this is classic. Like, hey, here's a pair of glasses. Oh, they look great on you. Hey, what's going on, buddy?
Do you think he was falling for it, though? I agree with how it looked peripherally. But then he did say in his confessional where he's at is that, you know, he's forgiven, quote unquote, Sandoval. But it's still his behavior going forward on how he's going to assess him as a friend and stuff. I thought that was fair, but I see what you're saying from the manipulation standpoint.
It feels like he's taking that bait a little bit. It seems like Sandoval's got Sheena and James on the ropes, and he's found them as the weak targets and the weak links to get himself back into the group, and kind of sneaky Lala too. Like, he's got all of them right on the ropes of like, hey, I've got them. And if I just manipulate him a little more, I'm back.
Yeah, that's very fair. And then we kind of go down the tail end of the episode. We have Katie getting upset at Sheena and Lala. Kind of a crazy, you know, you could feel Katie's like blood boiling under her skin. She said she's about to jump off the roof if they kept talking about Scandoval. You know, that's, I think that as much, you know, Katie almost catches flack in a way similar to like Skyler in Breaking Bad, where I think she's more of a victim of circumstance on who she's married to and stuff like that versus she's actually a bad person. And I think that, you know, you look back at the early seasons. I mean, Sandoval was always ragging on Schwartz to Katie and stuff like that. And then, of course, that went over to the friend group and everything like that. So I think that was fair from Katie to show some vulnerability, so show some anger there.
Okay.
And then at the tail end of the episode, we got Girls Night Astrology. What'd you think of this final segment?
Honestly, it bumped up Allie in my view. I've been a little bit hard on Allie as of late. But she's so sweet and innocent in terms of the people in this group. And like when they're arguing, she's just like, well, that's why we need astrology so we can know how to communicate.
she does go so soft, and there is some reason logic behind it. So I appreciate it.
Yeah, for sure. But this was a classic Katie Mahoney, like, right? Like talking about her big dick energy and really getting at Lala and trying to get that going and fighting. But it seems like she's really holding on to that number two spot a little too hard.
I mean, she's solidified it. I that's all I'm going to say is that the one thing that Ariana knows about this group is that her number two is solid.
Yeah. Right now she's solid number two, but she's leaning into it a little hard. I think that's going to backfire for her as the group slowly transitions into letting Tom back in.
Yeah. Ultimately going to let him back in. Very funny with the astrology, very funny with tying it back to how they communicate and stuff. Allie was doing her best. But yeah, so that wraps up this episode. Let's get into our scores and we'll run through this quick and then we'll talk about Jax on the other side, obviously, because we have impending Jax due to the mid-season recap or mid-season preview. So show score, I'll kick this one off. We were riding hot a couple consecutive sevens. We went back into neutral. I have a feeling next week it definitely could be an eight or an eight plus. So with that said, I am going to give this week's episode a 6.4. I thought it was decent. Not the worst of the season, but right in the middle of the pack.
This is our first tie, right? We've been close a couple times, but I had it as 6.4 also. Again, I think I got the quintessential characters, which I love, and you got a little bit of Katie and Lala going at it. You had a little bit of going at it, and so it gave me a little bit of the drama, but nothing to write home about.
Okay. And then on this one, who do we have as the poo-poo head of the night?
Mine is Sheena. I'm so sick of Sheena, dude.
It's funny because you've been kind of sick of her all season, but this is the first one where you've gotten her.
Yeah, I needed this opportunity, and it's really probably an overall body of work for her to get her the poo-poo head of the night on this one. But she is such a false martyr, right? Like, it's always like, oh, I've done this for you and I've done that for you, but it's really all about Sheena. You heard Andy in the post show like being like, oh, Ariana's breakup was hardest on Sheena Shea, like all these things are it's the worst for Sheena Shea.
That was so funny, by the way. Real quick, great watch what happens live last night.
John Oliver's
hysterical.
Yeah. Sheena finally gets it for me. I needed to put her right here, and her whole attitude about this all things stinks.
I think that's fair. I am going to take advantage. You know, again, like you said, it was kind of a mild episode by Vanderpump standards. You know, not much yelling, not much crying, even though there was a little bit of both. I'm just going to go with the obvious one here. Sandoval showing up to, you know, Tom when the sleeveless like outfit, showing up in, you know, not realizing that Rachel's like clearly know them, trying to manipulate James. So obviously with the sunglasses, like no offense, but you tell James like, oh, those look good on you, dude. Like, course he's gonna be friends with anyone that tells him he looks good. I love James, but he's not beyond that at this point. He's not above flattery at this point. So Sandoval gets his second poo-poo head of the night from me on the season, or sorry, third poo-poo head of the night from me on the season. And then let's get into our Vanderpump power rankings. Like you said, it's Lisa and James at the top. We got Lala and Ariana making some strides. I can kick this one off
here. Do it.
I will go one Sheena, just because I actually like that she was standing up for herself. And like you said, this is a little bit lighter on everything that's happening. One Sheena, or by the way, again, top five of the episode. If you're in fifth, you get 1 point. If you're in fourth, you get 2 points. If you're three, you get three. Second, you get four. And first, you get five. At the end of the season, we'll total them up for a season champion. One Sheena for speaking her piece and kind of sticking up with her perspective. Again, I agree with you that it was a little over, you know, bearing, but I do appreciate that she stuck up for herself. Katie Maloney, same, you know, thing. I'm going to give her the four spot that gets her 2 points. That kind of doubles her up on the season. I thought it was good that she stuck up for at least where she was in position, and she did a good job of solidifying herself as the number two. Allie at number three, okay? Because ultimately, you know, astrology night, hosting the final segment, that's something to count for. She's definitely pushing the astrology. And we saw the singing video.
Pretty the Taylor singer, Swift,
pretty,
yeah.
Pretty talented, for sure. Now that gets me to my top two of the episode. I'm going to have to give Hippie an honorable mention this week. He's not going to get any points. I'm going to give Lala the two spot. I really did like her going against Ariana. I did like her on the episode being Lala. She started and ended the episode in typical Lala form. And then number one, I'm going to go Lisa. Just so much above the Scandoval thing, doing whatever she wants with Tom. Unfortunately, no points for James or Hippie this week. Very rare for me. Aaron, what do you got?
Yeah, I'm not too far off from you. So I have Katie in the fifth spot. Again, just being classic herself, whether you like her or not, she is who she is. I got Schwartz in the fourth spot here, just being goofy, finally admitting to hooking up with JoJo. I think that's a good one. I've got Lala in the third spot. Again, just being classic herself. You that's all you ask for from Lala. Allie making her way into the second spot for me here with the Astrology Knight, trying to be a bit of the peacekeeper amongst these women, who are much older than her and have so much more drama than her. She's trying to keep that all together, while they crap on her boyfriend and crap on everything around her. And then Lisa holding down the number one spot, putting Tom in his place multiple times as a 2% owner, get over Rachel. And also even the scene with, talking with Lala and, the sperm donor stuff and all that stuff. Just every time Lisa's on camera, yep, it's hard not to get her up to the number one spot.
Yeah, I completely forgot to mention the Lisa Lala sperm donor conversation. Very funny and all, but you know, very hysterical just seeing Lisa's perspective on it, truthfully, because Lala is so gung ho about it. Yeah. Speaking of being gung ho, shout out to these producers, because they could have had Jax in the second or third episode, but they partitioned him out. So now he's going to be in episode 8, it looks like. And it looks like he's going to be giving Sandoval a lot of shit, which is, I think, something we can all look forward to.
Oh, I miss it. I miss him being the number one guy in this group and just being such a hypocrite and just fighting everybody at every possible turn. They really did drag this out. It was one of the things I'm most excited about when we saw the trailer for the season, was the return of Jax and how that chemistry would react. Because right now, I think James is probably the number one guy in the group. And you know, Jax isn't going to be taking any of that. And also, we got a little bit of a teaser at that launch of Jack still being up to the same type of stuff, and the rumors going circulating around town.
Little bet, of course.
Yeah, and so I think that might get called back out in his face. So I'm expecting nothing but fireworks when Jack's returns.
Yeah, what else could you expect? And again, remember, this is the show. You could bring your wife to Trainwreck, but you bring your mistress to Trainwreck Rules. This is the show where you got to say it with your chest, bitch. Shout out to my co-host, Aaron Quinn. Shout out to our sponsor, Picasso's Pizza. Thank you for tuning along, and see you next week with Trainwreck Rules.